Das Chazor sagt nicht, aber Chazor sagt, wenn wir Hüdem sagt, das Kedushin darf der sein. Der Mischa sagt, Ubi Shtar, Ula said, this is based on the Pasuk of a Macheres Yigachlei, in which the Torah compares the Amaria to another wife, and thereby teaches just as a wife can be acquired with the Shtar, and Amaria could also be acquired with the Shtar. In fact, when this makes sense according to the view of Rav Huna, that the master is the one who writes the Shtar when purchasing Amaria, that's like the husband writing the Shtar to the wife. However, according to the view of Rav Chista, that's the father of the Amaria who writes it, which is more aligned to the case of a sale of real estate. This can't serve as a source. So what's the source? The Racha, the son of Yaakov, said, the Pasuk regarding Amaria says, like, which teaches that she does not go out in the ways of a non-Jewish slave, but she can be acquired in the way of a non-Jewish slave, meaning with shtar. Maybe it teaches that she can be acquired with, like a slave with chazaka. Whereas the pasuk regarding non-Jewish slaves says, v'snachaltem oisom levneichem acharechem, which teaches that only they, oisom, can be acquired with chazaka. Maybe the oisom teaches that it's only they who can be acquired with shtar. Whereas the pasuk le'seitze teaches to include something, so it must be shtar. Why do we choose to include shtar and exclude chazaka? I've said it makes sense to include shtar because a shtar can be used by a woman to terminate a marriage. Maybe we should include rather chazaka, because since it's a kinyan that can be used when being coined in the possessions of a ger, the Gemara says chazaka is not a kinyan that's ever used in marriage. Second Torah, the pasuk of imacheres teaches that it's shtar that should be included. What is Rav Huna darshan with the pasuk of loisetze k'teisu avodim? The Gemara says, according to him, it teaches that a mervia does not go out free if the master knocks off one of her limbs, although a non-Jewish slave would go out free if that were to happen. Rav Chisda says the word kitseis is extra, could have just said loisetze k'avodim. Kitseis, therefore, is used to teach his drasha as well. The Mishnah Sefer Kohen is asked me about Shanim, whereas this is based on the pasuk that says Sheishanim Yavod Vashvius by Yovel. The Mishnah said this is based on the pasuk that says Ad Shnas HaYovel Yavod Imach. Mishnah said Begroyin Kesef. Chizki said the pasuk of Vehefta written by Amaria teaches that the Amaria must be allowed to redeem herself from slavery by paying the master for the amount of years left to slavery. The Brisa says Yevedivri can acquire himself back with money, items of value, Shavu Kesef, or with a shtar. In fact, he can use money based on the pasuk of Mekesef Meknasay. He can use items of Shavu Kesef because. The pasuk says Yashiv Gulasa, which teaches that the allowed to use Shavu Kesef Kesef. However, what's the basis that he can use a shtar, like a shtar shikhar? If it means that it's just a promissory note, not a shtar shikhar, rather it's a promissory note, then that would be considered the kesef. We don't need something special to teach that. Rather, it must mean that the master can write a get shikhar. But why is that necessary to write a get shikhar? Why can't you just tell in front of two people or in front of Bez and go free? Rava said, from the Braisa we see that the body of an Evidivri is owned somewhat by the master, and a verbal waiving of his rights to the remaining value of the Evidivri would not be effective to make him free. He actually has to give him an actual get shikhar. The Mishnah said, Yisrael lo amaria. Reish Lakish said, an amaria acquires herself back upon the death of her father based on a kavachayim. If simonim, which don't remove her from the rishus of her father, are able to remove her from the rishus of a master, then death of the father, which removes her from the rishus of the father, should surely remove her from the rishus of the master. Rabbi Hoshaya asked, if this is true, then when the Mishnah listed the methods to freedom of the other amaria that don't apply to an eved ivri, the Mishnah should also list an amaria as an additional method of freedom when the father dies. Where it says the list of the Mishnah is not complete because it left out other methods as well. So what else did it leave out? Where it says left out for freedom upon the death of the master. In fact, that's not considered to be left out because death of the master applies to an eved ivri who is a nirtza. Moshe says the reason the mission didn't list the death of the father is only because it only listed items that have or methods that have fixed times associated with them. The death of the father does not have a fixed time associated with it. In fact, Moshe Simonim also don't have a set time, and yet the mission lists it. Rav Safra said it has no upper limit, but it does have a lower limit. The Braisa says Simonim that grow before a certain age don't have the status of Simonim. Rav Sheisha says the Braisa says Rav Shimon says that there are four categories of free slaves who are entitled to receive severance gifts, hanik tanik loy. Three of these categories apply to men, three of them apply to women, but you can never say that four apply to either men or women because only three out of the four apply to each, because a man doesn't go out with simonim and a woman does not become a nirtza. Now, according to Reish Lakish, we should also list the category of freedom upon the death of the father. You can't say that the list is not complete and items were left out because Hashem numbers the list as being four categories and a numbered list is meant to be complete. You also can't say that he only listed items that have a set time because he listed simonim, which don't have a set time. And if you're going to try to answer, like Rav Safa said, that simonim do have a set time, we can still ask that the list includes the death of the master, which doesn't have a set time. You see, we're not limiting it to things that have a set time. And for the Gemara, the list actually does not include the death of the master. The four categories referred to in the Braisa are freedom at 6 years, freedom at Yovel for a Nirtza, and freedom for a Maria with Simonim. And also, since Rav Shimon said, there are not four categories for one gender. It must be that the death of the master is not included, because if so, there would be four that apply to the woman. And that's why we don't list over here the death of the father. The Rambam is, the Braisa says that these Elu are the servants who get servants upon their freedom. One who was freed at 6 years, one who was freed at Yovel, one who was freed upon the master's death, and a number of freed upon her freedom with Simonim. Now, according to Rish Lakish, Rabbi Shishu also lists the death of the father. Now, you can't say that the list is not complete, and the items were left out because it says Elu, which means it is complete. You can't say he only listed items that have a set time because he listed Simonim, which don't have a set time. And either you're going to try to answer, like Rav Safra, that the Simonim do have a set time. We can still ask that the list includes death of the master, which doesn't have a set time, to Yufta, the Rish Lakish, to Yufta. So how can we say he's refuted? It says the Kavachayim can be refuted because we can ask that Simonim are different in that they come about due to a change in the body, whereas death of the father has nothing to do with a change in the body. One Brisa says the seven gifts of the Eved Ivri go to himself, and of the Amar Viyah also go to herself. Another Brisa says that the seven gifts of the Amar Viyah and her fines go to her father. The master only gets compensated for the time that the Amar Viyah spent on the fine. Now the Brisas can be reconciled if we hold like Rish Lakish, because we could say the first Brisa is discussing where she was freed upon the death of the father, and the second Brisa is discussing where she was freed upon a Simonim. Otherwise, how do we reconcile the Brisas? Mar says, no, both Brisas can be talking about where she was freed with Simonim. First Brisa is discussing where she no longer had a father, and the second Brisa is discussing where she still had a father. The first Brisa is mentioned of Maria's severance going to herself is necessary to teach that it does not go after her brothers, because if she does not have a father. However, what's the purpose of telling us that the severance of the Eved Ivri goes to himself? Who else should it go to? Rabbi Yitzchak said the Braisa stated it unnecessarily in Chanami. Abaye has a different territory. He said, Rav Sheisha said this Braisa is the view of Tutoi, who said that even if the Eved owes money, this severance goes to him, it does not go to the creditor. And the Chiddush of the Braisa is that we don't follow the Shibud of the Rav Nosson in this case. Zuckner, the Braisa earlier that we quoted earlier said that there are servants who get severance upon their freedom. They are the one who is freed at 6 years, one who is freed at Yovel, one who is freed upon the master's death, and an Amar Ria upon her freedom with Simonim. However, a servant who ran away and one that was freed through Geroyen Kesef do not get severance. Rav Meir says, although a servant who ran away doesn't get severance, one who was freed from Geroyen Kesef does get severance. Rav Shimon says there are four categories of free slaves who are entitled to receive severance gifts. Three of them apply to men, three apply to women, but you can't say all four categories apply to either one of the genders, because a man doesn't go out with Simonim and a woman doesn't go out with Nir. Or it doesn't become a nirtza. Minalon these halachas, Marcus the Bryce said, we would think that only a servant who leaves after 6 years should get severance, since the obligation of Hanik Tanakla is written in the parasha of Sheishanim. How do we know to include one who is freed at Yovel or upon the death of the master or an Amar Viyah with Simonim? Marcus says, the pasuk repeats by saying Tishalchenu and then Vichis Tishalchenu, which teaches to include all forms of freedom. Based on this, we would think to even include a runaway and someone who is redeemed, Hefta. Marcus the pasuk therefore says, Vichis Tishalchenu, Chavshi Mei Imach, which teaches it only applies if it was sent from you, which teaches to exclude a runaway and someone who was freed with growing kesef, they're not sent by the master. Rav Meir says that a redeemed servant is sent by the master because he has to accept a proportionate amount of the years left, and therefore he is included in the severance obligation. Fact number, a runaway has to complete the term of the 6 years when he returns, so why is he not entitled to severance at that time? As the Brisa says, the pasuk of Sheishanim Yavah teaches that a runaway has to complete his term. The Brisa then says, we would think that a slave who is sick during the term, which must have make up the time that he lost. The pasuk therefore says, which teaches that he goes out the seventh year even without making up the time. Anyway, so Rav Sheish explains, though, the Brisa but was discussing where he ran away and Yovel came before he was returned. We would think that since he's now freed with Yovel, he should get the seventh. The Brisa therefore teaches he's not entitled to seventh. If he comes back and makes up the rest of the time and he gets freed, then Bishesh, of course, he would get severance. Checking by the Brisa quoted above said, if he was sick, he need not make up the time. Does this mean to say that even if he was sick for all 6 years, he doesn't have to make up the time? And Brisa says, if he was sick for 3 years, he doesn't have to make up the time. If he was sick for all six, he would have to make up the time. Bishesh said, the first Brisa discussing where he was sick, while he was sick, he at least did some needlework. That's why he would not have to make up the time. Checking by the second Brisa, that seems contradictory itself. On the one hand, it says, if he was sick for 3 years, he doesn't have to make up the time, which suggests that if he was sick for 4 years, he would. The Brisa then says, if he was sick for all six, he has to make up the time, which suggests if he was sick for only 4 years, he would not have to make up the time. The Brisa means to say that if he was sick for 4 years, it's as if he was sick for 6 years, and he would therefore have to make up the time during which he was sick.